My topic today is, well, you know, when I preach, sometimes I step on some toes, but I don't think I'm going to do that today, all right? And I guess if you have a problem with this, you have a problem with the scripture anyway, so that's okay. Tolerance or compromise. There are some words that we hear every day. Look, I spent 20 years in the Army. I have gone through so many classes. Tom, am I right? Yes. Navy classes too, right? Yeah, Navy classes too, Mike. On tolerance, on doing the right thing and being tolerant of other people. I've had it up to here with tolerance, all right? So have you ever been called intolerant? Here's the word for you. Ah, yes, we have some intolerant. I've been called intolerant. Anybody? There are some intolerant people. Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad to see it. That's great. Okay, brownie points. Intolerance is what we are called if we're Christians. All right? Don't worry about it. It's okay. I've been called intolerant. In fact, in instances where I didn't expect to be called intolerant, I remember one lady lost her father. And I went and talked to her. She was in my unit. I talked to her and I said, you know, I'll be praying for you and we're very sorry about your father passing. And, you know, Christ, you know, loves us no matter what. And oh boy, that her demeanor changed. It was, I think, little horns started shooting out at the top. And it was not fun because I was accused of being intolerant and all kinds of things. And I was really not trying to do that at all. I was very surprised. Maybe that kind of thing has happened to you too. But it's something that that does happen. We say the truth to Christ and we're considered intolerant. The fact that we believe something concrete and black and white puts fear and anger in the hearts of non-believers. Do you remember that the cross offends? The cross is offensive. Don't be surprised when you realize that. You can mention a pantheon of gods. You can mention Allah. You can mention Buddha. You can mention whatever. People don't become offended. That's okay. It's sort of New Agey, you know? But you mention Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on the cross, and you get the ACLU after you for mentioning something. Or if I mention that in work in the Army, then not a good thing. Not a good thing. I get called in front of the commander and told how intolerant I might be or whatever. There's been a lot of email flying around. Some of you probably have gotten that. It's from Trey's, actually related to Trey's website. I'm not getting it from him, but from a person who's been writing back that is accusing him and the newsletter and other people that they are intolerant and that they should be to go easier on people that are a bit different. And this is from a Christian, by the way. Maybe some of you have gotten that email. He thinks that anyone with fundamental differences, we think that anyone with fundamental differences, we call a sin, in other words. He's not willing to do that. This is the problem we're exactly talking about today. He does not believe that we should confront sin. He is calling Christians to compromise. Compromising is allowing Satan to win the battle. That's what compromising is all about. We have a new definition of compromise. And this new definition makes the Christian claims of exclusivity. In other words, being a Christian is a very exclusive thing, and that makes us intolerant. And this supposedly justifies un-Christian or anti-Christian Christianity in the media and the education system. So if these tolerance advocates reject Christianity, then they're not treating the belief in Christ as equal to the other beliefs that are out there. You remember, maybe you're in high school, you read George Orwell's Animal Farm. Anybody read that? Mm-hmm. Everybody's equal, but some are a little more equal than others. Well, the same kind of thing. All beliefs are equal, but some beliefs are more equal than others. The result is intolerance towards Christianity from people who talk so much about tolerating all views. In short, they are intolerant of intolerance. And that is sort of an oxymoron. Not long ago, tolerance meant putting up with your brother-in-law or sister-in-law. Tolerance was something that we could do pretty well and was sort of necessary living everyday life. Now it's different. Now the word tolerance has been redefined to all values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal. All beliefs, values, lifestyles, and truth claims are equal. Where does it leave Christians? Now, listen, Satan has a great deal at stake in this tolerant society. A great deal at stake. Tolerance means watering down the original meaning of the scripture. One of the key attacks of Satan on Christianity is scriptures. If the message is watered down, then it can be tolerated by all. If the message is watered down, it can be tolerated by all. The pagan, the Unitarian, the whatever. A message is in the majority of churches in our land today, and a majority of churches everywhere. The European church is a total shambles. The percentage of people going attending church today in the UK, in England, is in the single digits of truly believing Christians. It is very sad. I saw a headline, Organized Religion Heads for Oblivion in England. I have a friend who is from England. I met him in 1994 during all the D-Day festivities that our band was part of in the south part of England. And I've been in contact with him all these years. He's an older gentleman. He showed me some of pictures. He was in he was a young lad in the D-Day invasion, and a young soldier befriended him and took him places, and I was talking to him, a little sidelight story, talking to him, and I picked up his kids, and he started crying, and I reminded him of the soldier that I was in uniform, and I reminded the soldier that had died in the invasion, never came back. But I talked to him about Christ, and it passes completely over his head. He has no basis of understanding what I'm talking about. His basis of understanding religion is pretty much what he sees on TV and is based in mysticism, and it's very sad. So the story goes that two people who are church-going parents, two Christians, have a 50-50 chance of passing on their beliefs to their children. One person who goes to church only has half of that, and two people who are not believers in Christ at all pretty much successfully transfer their lack of faith to their children. Only one in 12 children, particularly girls, will opt to be believers if they are in pretty much any situation. And all this is related to watering down the scripture. We are not a nation that is solidly sticking to Christian principles. We're quickly going down the road of oblivion that's found in European churches. We have very few ward cleavers in our society anymore and that hold a godly home. Throughout history, people have tried to make our scriptures watered down and more tolerant. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche made contemptuous attacks towards Apostle Paul. He did not believe that Paul had anything to do with the Christ of the New Testament. In fact, in Latin he says in this book called The Antichrist, Deus qualem Paulus creviat dia negatio, which means God as Paul created him is the negation of God. So he believes that Christ that's presented in Paul's writings has nothing whatsoever to do with God. He made every attempt to minimize the theology and the efforts of Apostle Paul and the teachings of Christ. Nietzsche's Savior, which is a different one than I have and you have, never found fault with anyone. And so the actions of Paul was completely dismissed by him. Tolerance denies the exclusivity of the teachings of Christ. Christ was very specific when he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's not hard to understand. That's very obvious. We have a coffee cup. We talk about something similar. It says, this coffee cup says, what part of thou shalt not do you not understand? Something very obvious also. John 14:6 is exclusive without a doubt. It is just this exclusivity that bothers non-Christians. It is just this exclusivity that bugs Satan. It is this exclusivity that is under attack by the hordes of tolerant advocates. We, as true believers in Christ, will never, never, never be a part of the mainstream Christian groups, and I define those the apostate churches, as long as we believe that belief in Christ is exclusive, that there are not other roads to heaven. We don't believe that. It's not going to be ever taught here. Christ and his teachings in the Bible makes requirements of us. We have the Ten Commandments. That's a great thing. Many places in Scripture, we have teachings that are important to our faith. If we can't stomach those teachings, do we take them out? Of course not. We don't take them out. We try to live a life that is in accord with the Scripture. We don't need anyone to tell us anything about Christ. We can, if you're living on a desert island with a Scripture, with a Bible, you'll be just fine. You'll have everything you need to know. Tolerance seeks to make all religions one. One religion. Tolerance says all religions teach the truth. Tolerance says you have the right to hold your beliefs, but you should agree that other beliefs are just as true as yours. That's what tolerance says. When we say that all religions are one, Satan is one. Satan has won the battle. When we say that all religions are one, it's a great lie. It's a great lie of Satan. When we say that all religions are one, it's also the perfect time to usher in the Antichrist. I firmly believe this is going to be something that is cropping up as we are going into the last days. The one religion world government is going to be pretty much important. And we are going to be, if we are left here on earth, we're going to be called down to worship the one religion. And we're going to talk about that a little later, too, with some scripture. All these instances that we see in our day and age are just warming up for the final days. If you don't see that, you need to read a little bit. There are many other religions that are inclusive, that say, oh, we want you Christian folks to come and you can worship what you're going to worship. You can worship part of what we're going to worship. We're all going to the same place. We have a big mountain. You see these pictures of mountains and little trails going up the mountain, and the top is Nirvana or God or whatever you want to call it. And that is the inclusive nature of other religions. We don't want to offend anyone. Let's not offend anyone. In some churches, they won't have a cross because the cross can be offensive and they wouldn't want to offend. By golly, we need to offend. Christ, it is Christ alone that saves, solo scriptura, and the scripture alone that we call upon. Tolerance demands total obedience. Tolerance demands total obedience. You can't be partially tolerant. To be partially tolerant makes you intolerant, doesn't it? To have anything other than total obedience to tolerance, like in government schools or wherever, gets you a visit from social services and government schools. The Apostle Paul says that we are enemies of God without Christ. In Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. We are enemies of God without Christ, vis-a-vis that we are enemies of the world with Christ. Don't forget that. We are enemies. We are enemies of Satan, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are a brother and sister in Christ, you are an enemy of Satan. Many of you, anybody felt what it's like to be enemy of Satan? Yeah. Yeah, and you, as we approach the latter days, then the final, it's just going to get worse. The attacks are going to be more vicious, much worse than it's going to be than it is now. The tolerant crowd are intolerant of you because of Christ. So these attacks will be worse, and more importantly, they will be state-sanctioned as we near the end times. Next, tolerance will be and is the mantra of the Antichrist. It's the mantra of the Antichrist. Is there anything really such thing as true Christian tolerance? Sure, there is. True Christian tolerance is we love our brothers and sisters, even though they may not be, we love folks, even though they may not be Christians, and we tell them about the love of Christ. The world wants us to conform to their beliefs and standards, and as a Christian, that's just not acceptable. We cannot do that. For a Christian to compromise or conform to the world, well, there's actually a verse. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you offend, then you are intolerant. Pete, you're offensive, right? You're offensive, all right? The truth truck is offensive. That's good. A tolerant person never offends. One of the important things you realize that it's not, and I'll say again, it's not you that offends, but the cross that offends. All right. I know some of you have read this bedtime story or the story to your kids, probably hopefully a lot of you have, about and found in Daniel, the third chapter of Daniel. And the three gentlemen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are great stalwarts of the faith. In 586 B.C., which is one of those dates that is important for you to remember, 586 B.C. was the exile in Babylon. There was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. I'll just really briefly summarize it, and then I'm going to go over part of it again. Nebuchadnezzar demanded total obedience to his beliefs and religion, but he did not care if you worshiped whatever you want, as long as you included this large golden image in your pantheon of gods. He declared a day, a festival, to be declared of a day of worship of this god. So what happened was whenever you heard the music sound, different instruments, you heard the music sound, you were to bow down, prostrate on the ground and bow down and worship this this golden image. And he had people looking out to see who was and who wasn't. And you know the story of the fiery furnace. So one of the great portions in the scripture, three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, good Jewish boys, they did not compromise on what they believed to the point of death. In a lot of ways, they are just like the period we live in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a time where the state-sanctioned religion was there and important, and there for people to worship. The king, remember, the king did not ask them to forsake their own God. They could be Jewish, but they had to compromise what they believed and bow down just for a little. Bow down just one time to show the king they were obedient to his God and his type of worship. So what did they do? What did they see and do? At this dedication for the new idol, every one of the area, there were thousands of people. It wasn't just a few people. It was everybody in the whole kingdom. Not thousands, probably tens of thousands of people. And they were all to bow at once when they heard the music sound. All the high and mighty, the king, the rulers of different areas, the judges, prefects, counselors, all type of people were to bow down at when they heard the music at this royal dedication ceremony. All they had to do was bow down. I remember when I was in England one time, it was backstage there, and the royalty was passing. It was in this case, it was a Queen Mum, and the Princess Diana and Prince Charles, and all the Englanders were. I couldn't force myself to bow. Too many good Yankees have perished because of that, so I did not bow. One of those things I feel mildly good about. So they saw all around them. Every place they looked, they saw people bowing when they heard the music. Except three men were standing straight and tall: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what? There were other people that they knew there that were bowing down. People they may have worshipped in their synagogue with, or they worship their own. There's people they knew. They were the ones that not compromising. The king and the counselors noticed these three gentlemen not bowing down. They went to them. The king was furious. Why you're not bowing down? Why don't you realize that the king's gods are very important? Why don't you also serve the gods of the king? And the word also is in there. Do you not serve the golden image that I have set up in this place? They did not compromise their faith. They were asked to tolerate, to be tolerant of this God, of this belief, because it really didn't mean that much. It was just a little thing to bow down to this. They didn't really have to believe that. They could go back to worshiping what they wanted to worship. They just had to bow down and show that they were obedient. They didn't do it. And you know what happened. They were thrown into the fiery furnace that was stoked seven times hotter than it was before. People died even trying to put them in there. And when they were in there, we saw not three, but four, right? The other was like the Son of God, it was said. Not by them, but by the counselors that were with them, walking around talking. And when they came out, they didn't even smell smoky. That's amazing. It's a great, it's not a story. It really happened, and it's really neat to happen. Last week, our pastor offered up a story about a man named Polycarp. Polycarp was a Christian martyr. By the way, if you don't have this book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, please get that for your library. It's very important. Or you can get it free if you're really cheap. It's on the internet, free. Go and look at it. There's some great stories there about our martyrs of the faith that we learn so much from. They did not die in vain. And this book was written, I'm not sure when this book was written, maybe 19th century, is that right? It's 19th century? I'm not sure. 20th century? Nevertheless, there are lots of martyrs in it. Maybe it's before that. There are lots of martyrs in there. But Polycarp was burned at the stake. As a pastor mentioned, he didn't like even his hand. He put it out to be burnt first. As the flames were licking up his body, he offered a prayer I'm going to read this prayer from the martyrdom of Polycarp. O Lord God Almighty, the Father of thy beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the knowledge of thee, the God of angels and powers and all creation, and of the whole race of the righteous who live in thy presence, I bless thee for that thou hast granted me this day and hour that I might receive a portion amongst the number of martyrs in the cup of thy Christ unto resurrection of eternal life, both of soul and of body, in the incorruptibility of the Holy Spirit. May I be received among these in thy presence this day as a rich and acceptable sacrifice, as thou didst prepare and reveal it beforehand, and thou hast accomplished it, for thou art the faithful and true God. For this cause, yea, and for things, all things, I praise thee, I bless thee, I glorify thee through the eternal and heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, through whom him, with him, and the Holy Spirit be glory both now and for the ages to come. Amen. And that was while he was being burned. Like Polycarp, many centuries later than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to take the easy way out. The easy way out for these three Jewish boys was to bow down. But they would not tolerate. They were intolerant of the society, and they did not compromise their beliefs. They were asked to be tolerant of the God that was set up by Nebuchadnezzar. The God was a golden image. I put a golden image on your bulletin so you could get an idea of what a golden image was. And probably not the same one. In fact, it wasn't. Okay, thinking of these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, think of what we said before. Tolerance seeks to make all religions one. They could worship their Jewish God, but after bowing down, they had to incorporate this idol in their own worship. They wanted, Nebuchadnezzar wanted all religions to be one. Tolerance demands total obedience. What is the penalty for non-total obedience that Polycarp paid with his life? What is the penalty of not being obedient with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The fiery furnace. It demands total. The penalty for disobedience was death. They became enemies of Nebuchadnezzar. They, and more importantly, they became enemies of the state. Tolerance is and will be the mantra was the mantra of the anti-God in their day and the anti-Christ in our days. Tolerance advocates are quick to root out intolerant people. In this fellowship, we have had people visit us that we don't know whence they came and where they go, but we believe that they have come to this fellowship to try to find fault with us. I know the pastor has encountered that in phone calls of press and that kind of thing, trying to find issues with our fellowship. And we've seen it in other places. We've had spies come in. Another church I was at, and it was pretty obvious. So they are looking to root out people who are not compromising, and people who are intolerant. A tolerant person never offends. King Nebuchadnezzar was furious. By their actions, they offended him. By not bowing down, they showed that there was a higher king. No king, but King Jesus. These three men did not conform to the world. They foreknew what was to be heralded in the New Testament. They were willing to be transformed by their desire to not compromise their faith. In America, we have an easy life. We have a very easy life. We're not called to die yet for our faith. The American church is guilty of compromising and watering down and making it an easy road about what we believe. That's not what the scripture says. The American church has fallen into the hands of Satan. We as believers many times have compromised who we are as believers in Christ. Can we, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or as Polycarp, refuse to compromise on anything? Refuse to give in to the wills of the world. I pray that we and our families and here at Cornerstone Evangelical Free Church will be able, in the face of a compromising world and the face of a compromising world for our children be able to not compromise in what we believe and what we teach our children. There is no compromising of the scripture. There must be no compromising. In Hebrews, we have the guarantee right from God. Hebrews 13, 5b through 8 says, "For he," right in the middle of the verse, "for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Christian martyrs, martyrs of the faith, that are held in so high regard by us as we listen to the stories that they have as the penalties that they extracted from the civil governments and from different places for their obedience, but their disobedience to the ways of the world and their obedience to Christ. Thank you that they were intolerant of the views around them. Help us be intolerant of heresies. Help us be intolerant of the truth as it's preached in the world and not of the scripture. Help us be intolerant of other religions that try to water down what we believe as Christians. Help us to be ones that speak the truth of Jesus Christ to those who are part of a dying and world that's going to hell, that we have enough love for them to tell them the story of Christ and his death on the cross and substitutionary atonement. Thank you, Lord, for the giants in faith that we have, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who are dwelling with you now, for Polycarp that is dwelling with you now, for the decisions they made to not compromise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.